look on Shannon's face. I know my brother missed me. Andrea, I know you don't know me that well yet, but damn it, I gotta believe you missed me too. Molly's somewhere on vacation. We don't know where the hell she is, but it's all right because we got Christine in the house. You know what? There's a national and a Final Four coming up with the men. But guess what, Shannon? This is about the ladies. Tonight, especially y'all. Who runs the world, girls? Who runs the world, girls? Oh, I couldn't wait for this. Let's go, y'all. First takes in the house the way it's supposed to be. Holla at your boys and girls.
First Take is presented by ESPN Bet.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into First Take. Christine Williamson here for Molly, who, by the way, yesterday was her birthday. Did you tell her happy birthday?
Molly?
Yes.
Yes, I did tell her happy birthday.
Just making sure.
I mean, she's getting younger and younger.
Yeah, you know what
I'm
saying? Every single year.
Got to give respect where respect is due. Andrea, it's beautiful to see you. It's beautiful to see you, girl. Shannon Sharpe, you know,
yeah.
On one hand, I must say, you're looking quite dapper this morning.
Yeah, you see that?
On another level, isn't that the same suit I had on about a week ago? That looks like my suit. That looks like that. I mean, did you see me rocking Shannon and then say, yo, I got to get me one of those? That's what it seemed like. I'm just asking.
Steven, no, this is Cesar Antolini. I think yours is Tom Ford, maybe Brioni, Cuccinelli. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But this is Cesar Antolini. This is a little something I threw together. I was in a hurry today, so I just let me grab this.
Yeah, let me grab it. Okay. We'll go with that.
Something light. All right. Andrea Carter is obviously here. Jay Will and Seth Greenberger are going to join us later in the show, but we got to start the show talking about women's hoops because you know it's going to be a good one tonight. South Carolina. Still undefeated with a win over Oregon State to advance to its fourth straight Final Four. The Gamecocks will play NC State, who upset Texas, which means the school's women and men will be repping in the Final Four. And the stars will be out tonight. Juju Watkins and USC take on Paige Beckers and UConn. USC is still seeking its first Final Four appearance since 1986, while UConn is looking to get there for the 23rd time. Now, before that, we'll have a rematch of last year's title game. Caitlin Clark in Iowa taking on Angel Reese in LSU. This will be the 8th championship game rematch in the NCAA tournament the following year. So a lot is on the line, Stephen A. I know we're very excited about tonight. So is Andrea and Shannon Sharpe. I'm going to start with you on this one, Stephen A.
Yeah.
Will this game impact Caitlin Clark's legacy at all?
Well, it all depends on how she performs. Let's get that out of the way. Let me say this first. Legitimately, I think you can look at the women's games tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the biggest nights in the history of women's college basketball.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. Right. And as far as I'm concerned, right now, they're more popular than the men's. OK, we're looking at UConn and UConn looks head and shoulders. Well, even though Tennessee and Purdue, that was a phenomenal game yesterday. The bottom line is we're looking at UConn. And, Andrea, Shannon, it was 23-23. Man, I went and got some food from Carmen. I turned around and they were down 30. It was 53-23. It was a 30-0 run. You just said, damn. I mean, UConn is just on that level, okay? And obviously, we look in the women's game, we look at South Carolina, and that's subject that we're going to broach because back-to-back undefeated regular season by Dawn Staley and the University of South Carolina is a lot to be said. But when you talk about tonight, a rematch of the national championship game,
right.
Caitlin Clark, the best player in the game, the most renowned player in the game going up against Angel Reese and the reigning defending champions, the national champions, that is LSU, that is the LSU Tigers. I mean, you look at a matchup like this, and this is epic. I can't wait. I'm gonna be right in front of my television. I ain't missing this, okay? And I gotta tell you something. When you ask the question in terms of this game impacting Caitlin's legacy, here's how it will. It all depends on how she plays. No effect on her whatsoever if she plays lights out, but they lose, okay? Of course, it would mean the world if she wins, Andrea, Shay Shay, but she can't stink up the joint. She can't go up against LSU. Last year, 9-22 shooting from the field, 8-19 from three-point range, 30 points, 8 assists. Wasn't a bad showing, but they still got drubbed. They lost by 17 in the national championship game to LSU. If you just don't have the team, you just don't have the team. We get that. But you, The person that's been compared to the Cheryl Millers, the Diana Taurasis, the Breonna Stewarts of the world, and others. You can't show up in a game of this magnitude, this rematch tonight, and stink up the joint. Caitlin Clark has to show up. She has to play at an elite level. If she wins or loses, but she plays at an elite level, it's not going to matter. If she stinks up the joint and they lose, that definitely will affect her legacy in terms of the comparisons that we've thrown out there, y'all.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And that's the thing. If they win, it will be because Caitlin Clark played well. She has to play well. She has to be the legendary Caitlin Clark that we have seen for them to win. I agree, Stephen A. The only way it would affect her legacy is if she played poorly. If she went out there and she was frustrated and she let the game get to her or the pressure get to her, then people might say, oh, okay, she might not. We can't really compare her to some of the greats that we've compared her to in the past in terms of overall player. Like score, she's always going to be an elite scorer, but legacy as far as impact goes, it could hurt her if she plays poorly. If she plays great and they win, it helps her legacy only because they have a shot at winning the national championship. For me, seeing great performances from Caitlin is phenomenal. It's wonderful. It's fun to watch. But in terms of her resume and her legacy, the only thing that can bump it up a notch, because it's already so good, is a national championship. Getting to a Final Four is wonderful, but she needs the national title to take her legacy to the next level.
Can I ask you guys a question? What did the how did the losing to Magic Johnson affect Larry Bird's legacy?
It didn't affect it greatly.
How did he play in that championship game? Did he drop 40?
No.
He averaged 33.
Right.
Caitlin Clark took a dormant program. Had we ever heard of Iowa women college basketball before Caitlin Clark? All the women that you're naming, can you name the programs they went to? UConn, Tennessee, USC. We're talking about programs that were already on the map. Caitlin Clark took a program in Iowa that's a football program and put women's college basketball on the map. I believe LSU have the better team. Caitlin Clark is a better player. Normally what we've seen is teams beat players. I don't believe. You're talking about the all-time leading scorer in women's college basketball. We're talking about a lady that's going to finish top three in assists in women's college basketball. I don't believe there's anything that she can do to harm it. Now, can she elevate it? She goes out. And she has a Cheryl Swoops type of game. And we remember what she had. I think she shot 16 or 22. Mm-hmm. She ended up having 47 points in the title game against Ohio State. And I think Katie Smith was on that team. Now we're talking about it. But to knock it down, when she's coming from a program in which she came from, she put this program on the map. You can't say what woman put Tennessee on the map. What woman put UConn on the map? They've had so many. From Rebecca Lobo to Swin Cash to Dorana Taurasi to Sue Bird to Maya Moore, Tina Charles, on and on and on and on, Tennessee, on and on and on. Name somebody other than Caitlin Clark from Iowa.
Well, I don't have to, and that's my argument against
that's
you.
That's my point.
I'm saying I don't have to, because first of all, there is no other name other than her. You're absolutely right about that. But what I would ask you, Shannon, is to harken back and rewind the clock to the kind of discussions that we've been having. If you're just talking about her greatness as an individual, of course, we didn't stop there, Andrea. Andrea will confirm this. We did not stop there. We brought up all-time greats. We brought up Naismith and Wooden Award winners. We brought up champions. And so what happens is that when you're getting compared to those people as an individual, you know this hell of a lot better than me, Mr. Hall of Famer, three-time Super Bowl champion. You know. The fact is that in the moments, when we talk about greatness, when we try to define it, it's moments that do it for us. We already know she's great. We already know she's an all-time great. No question. There's nothing to talk about there. You're right about that. But when we start bringing up the Breonna Stewart's champion all 4 years, the Diana Taurasi, a three-time Super Bowl, a three-time champion, national champion. When we start with the Olympic gold medalists and all of this, the Maya Moores of the world, the Cheryl Millers of the world and others. When you start bringing up historical names and you're talking about her eclipsing them, you cannot have a moment with a Final Four berth on the line against a team that bounced you out in convincing fashion for the national championship last year. You can't then turn around and have that matchup and stink up the joint. Not saying you can't be average. I'm not saying that you have to be sensational. But what it can't be is we're looking at you and we're saying it's your fault. We can look at the team and say they're a superior team to Iowa. What we can't do is look at you as an individual and say you wet the bed. You didn't get it done. When the moment arrived, you came up small. We cannot do that and then still mention her in the same breath as those great champions. You just can't do that.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with Stephen A. And the thing is, let me tell you all this right now. I have zero doubt in Caitlin Clark and her ability. I have so much belief in Caitlin Clark and the product that she is going to put on the floor and the skill set that she is going to show out there on the court. It might not be enough to get the win, but when we're talking about this game impacting Caitlin's legacy, I've come on the show and said this in the past. Caitlin cannot be in the GOAT conversation without a championship. So this game impacts that legacy, because if she wins, she has a chance to move into the GOAT conversation. If she loses, she's not in the GOAT conversation. She could be the greatest scorer of all time. She could be one of the greatest players we've ever seen. She could be the biggest impact on the game. But when we're talking GOAT talk, you need a championship to be in that conversation. I believe if she wins a championship, her resume is goated. There's not another resume that can stack up against Caitlin Clark's with a championship on it. She's got to get a championship. So this game impacts that.
Can I ask you a question? We mentioned Diana Taurasi. Where is Caitlin Clark, Sue Bird, and Swin Cash? Where's her Tina Charles to go with the Maya Moore? Where's the Tamika Catchings to go with Shamika Holzclaw? See, you keep saying go, 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 but hold on. Where's the McGee twins to go with Cheryl Miller?
I hear you, but listen. All those people that you just named won multiple championships because of their teammates. A player can win one. Caitlin can win one. Caitlin can lead this team to one. She has enough pieces around her. I wouldn't set it as something she could do if it didn't make sense. She can do it with this team. They have to be phenomenal. They have to be amazing. But it's not impossible. So because it's not impossible, it's within her reach to get one. I'm not asking her to get three. I'm not asking her to get four like Breanna Stewart did, or two. I'm asking her one, just one.
In the history of women's college basketball, we've only seen one woman, Cheryl Swoopes, do what we're asking Caitlin Clark. In the history, and it goes back to the La Tech, the Lady Teamsters, when they beat Cheney State in the first round, the first one that I can remember. Now, maybe there was some play before that, but I mean the La Tech, the Lady Teamsters, they won back-to-back. We got to go back, way back. So in the history of women's college basketball, we've seen one woman do what we're asking Caitlin Clark, the other team, the breed.
So we've seen it done before, so it's not impossible. We've seen it done before. That's what I'm saying.
Shannon, but here's where Andre and I disagree. I don't think Caitlin Clark needs to win the championship. Mm-hmm. She's saying she does. I don't believe that. I'm saying she can't be in a game of this magnitude and stink up the joint. I don't believe she will.
She's not too gifted for that. That's not going to happen.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is, my goodness, what if it happened? What if she goes out there tonight and LSU completely hamstrings her, completely straps her, and she can't do anything, and she has an awful, awful performance? That is what I am saying would be the problem. I'm not saying that if she wins, plays well, but they don't win, Shannon, that it changes anything. It doesn't.
Yeah.
But she cannot play bad.
Andrea, I'm going to have to give you a little pushback with the GOAT. I don't know if you can be in the GOAT with one title, especially when Breanna and DT and Shamika Holzclaw and Cheryl Miller, they have multiples, and they also have player of the years.
But I hear you, Shannon, but you just mentioned all of the teammates that play with them. They had WNBA first-round draft picks alongside them, so they won multiple as a program. You don't win multiple as one player. Like, you don't win multiple championships as the only five-star recruit on the roster. You don't win multiple championships as the only player in the top 100 ranking, except for one other teammate. Like, that's a sophomore. Hannah Stuckey's a sophomore. So, like, yes, there are teams that have won multiple, but those are programs, Shannon. Like, look on the list of the players that played with Breanna Stewart. There's like six of them still in the WNBA right now.
Yes. Yes. But you, yes. Yes. Cheryl Swoops is 6'4", 6'5". Yeah. Go ahead.
I got to interrupt y'all because I'm being told we have some breaking
news. We do have breaking news. Ultimately, Caitlin Clark is the only person on that team that will win a championship. That's what Drea is saying. So if she does win a championship, then she is.
Christine, don't do that, Christine.
Philadelphia 76, love you. So Philadelphia 76ers star Joel Embiid is nearing a return and expected to play this week, sources told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. The reigning MVP has been out since January 30th with a left meniscus injury. His status for Tuesday versus OKC is expected later today. Stephen A., your reaction to that news?
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, there's no way in hell that the 76ers have a snowball's chance in hell of doing anything without Joel Embiid. And,
correct,
you know, the big perk, Kendrick Perkins and others proclaiming that he should be sat out for the rest of the season, make sure he could get himself healthy. There is no such thing with Joel Embiid. He came into the NBA missing the first two seasons of his career because of a foot injury, okay? And he's had practically every injury known to man ever since. And so with him, he's one of those dudes, listen, a phenomenal player, one of the most talented, one of the greatest big men we've ever seen grace the sport of basketball the world over. We get all of that. The flip side to it, this brother could get injured going to the deli. We don't know when he's going to get hurt. And so anytime that he is available, I don't give a damn if it's at 50%, 75%. I don't care if you got to play in 15 minutes, 20 minutes. You use them. So I'm not surprised.
You know what, Stephen A., I thought I was one of the guys that said I thought they should have sat Joel Embiid. But now that you mention it and I thought about it, I remember going home thinking about it. Hell, ain't no guarantee he going to be healthy if you sit him out for the rest of the year and he comes back next year. He came into the league with a bad back, and you mentioned he missed 2 years. He had knee problems. He had foot problems. He got IBS. Only babies have worse stomach issues than Joel Embiid. So I'm not surprised either, Stephen A., because as we're saying, let him come back for next year. Joel Embiid is not aging down. He's aging up. And so there's no guarantee, even if you sit him out for the remainder of the season, and I think he wants to play in the Olympics. I think he's committed to the USA Olympic team. He needs to get back out there. And so you're absolutely right, Stephen A. He needs to play when able he's available, because there's no guarantee that once he's 100% that he's not going to get injured again based on just his history. His history tells us this is not Joel Embiid's last injury. And as he gets older, he's going to have to even drop even more weight, because that is a large man on that frame, and you're asking him to get up and down the court, Stephen A., 82 times a year.
No way.
And occasionally it's going to be back-to-back. You're asking an awful lot of a man that size to be agile, nimble, and not be fragile in the same breath.
Well, listen, I think it's a beautiful day with me coming off vacation. One minute we start off the show, Shannon's wearing my suit, and now he's acknowledging that I was right. I mean, it's a beautiful day.
You're right, bro.
Love that for you. By the way, Joel Embiid just turned 30 on March 16th, right. So he's only getting older, per usual.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
LeBron James scored 40 points in LA's 116-104 win over the Nets last night, joining Michael Jordan as the only players in NBA history with multiple games of 40 points or more after turning 39. LeBron has now done it twice, while Jordan, who played until he was 40, did it three times. LeBron, how much time you got left in you?
Not very long. Not very long. I'm on the other side, obviously at a hill, so I'm not going to play another 21 years, that's for damn sure, but not very long. I don't know when that door will close as far as when I retire, but I don't have much time left.
All right, Shannon, I'm going to start with you on this one. Is this the Lakers' last dance?
No, because if the reports are true, they're looking to pair a third superstar with AD and LeBron next season. So, look, LeBron's saying that, I don't know why anybody, y'all want me to interrupt my normally scheduled programming for a guy that's 39 years of age, that's in year 21 playing a professional sport, and he comes to the realization he doesn't have much time left. Now, had Luka said this, had Nikola Jokic said this, Jason Tatum, now I would start to worry. I was like, Stephen A., what's going on? What are you hearing? But the man is 39. He's in year 21. How many more years do you think he's going to play? You can see him starting to set things up. He's doing the podcast with JJ. Very good podcast. You see Savannah. I think she's starting to start a podcast. So you see, Stephen A., he's starting to prepare himself for things outside of the game of basketball. Yes, we know he has a production company, him and Mav, and they've been scheduled to do three events. I think the Jesse Owens story, the Jim Thorpe story, and another story to be named at a later date and time. So you see LeBron preparing himself to do things outside of the game of basketball. Now, we know the first and foremost thing that's on his mind is to become an owner. He's probably eyeing that team in Vegas. How close is that to become a realization of Stephen A.? You would know better than I. But I am not surprised that LeBron is saying that I'm getting closer to the end than the beginning, because he is 39 years of age. Right. He is in year 21, and he plays a professional sport. But I couldn't tell. Did you see that yesterday? Your goat could never. Your goat could never, whoever your goat may be.
He know who it is.
You know it. I don't know what it is.
Whoever my goat go be, you better watch your mouth. You know exactly who my goat is.
Christine,
the one thing you're going to learn about Shannon Sharpe, I don't like to do conjecture. I don't like to do speculation or innuendo. So whoever Stephen A. Goat may be, when was the last time he went 13 or 17, 9 or 10 from the three-point line and dropped 40 in an efficient of fashion as we've ever seen?
I saw the brother drop over 40 when he was 40.
Yeah,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I did say that.
That's number one.
I did
number
say
two, when
he probably took his 40 shot.
I answered your question. That's number one. Number two, for somebody that's so bloviating about how to go, I don't see no. Hey, you know what? How come you only been to two games this year? You only been to a couple of games this year. I wonder why. Number three, when you're talking about the injection and all of that other stuff, you have a whole lot of time, not just with Shay Shay, but with Nike. Y'all do a hell of a job with that stuff. Don't even start with me, okay? People taking notes from you right now. That's a compliment, my brother. Don't even worry about it. But here's the deal, Shannon. I'm going to tell you this. And you didn't bring this up, so I'm going to bring it up for you, because I know you leave these things out. Because, see, I know you well enough to know what you're talking about. You also know what to leave out, because you're slick like that. But it's okay. I'm
what
here
happened?
For it. The Los Angeles Lakers have won 6 of their last 7 games. They're 18-8 since February 1st, tied for the 5th best record in the NBA during this stretch, right? Very, very impressive. Wouldn't you say, Christine?
Pretty solid.
I'd say so. They're still a 9th seed. They're still a 9th seed despite that, okay? Not to mention the fact that they're playing 500 ball against the top 6 seeds in the Western Conference. What I'm saying to you is this question is relevant, Shannon, because here's what I'm trying to brace you for. The end is near. In terms of your GOAT ever winning the championship again, unless he planning on leaving Tinseltown. You understand what I'm saying? And let's not forget the acting, because he did a great, great job in the movie Trainwreck. He was fabulous in the movie Trainwreck. You know, LeBron did some acting there too, all right? So, yeah, he's doing a lot of things to prepare himself post, like all of that other, and he still got enough money. He don't ever have to work another day in his life. But here's the point, Shannon. When you look at
those other teams within the Western Conference, by the way, who are all considerably younger, by the way, who are better, okay, and are standing as figurative and literal roadblocks to whatever aspirations he may have as being a champion again. As long as he's going to stay in L.A. with the Los Angeles Lakers, there's nothing foreshadowing championship on their horizons. So the bottom line is this. This, in my opinion, this is the last dance. With LeBron James playing the way that he's playing, I don't expect him to be better next year than he is this year.
You expect him to be worse?
I'm not saying that, but I said I don't expect him to be better. I would not disrespect him like that. He's too great for me to assume that because we've seen him defy father time and odds for so long. But I don't expect him to be better. I damn sure don't expect the rest of his crew to be better. And so I'm looking at the Los Angeles Lakers, and I'm like, yo, the time is now because guess what? Oklahoma City ain't going to get worse. Minnesota ain't going to get worse.
4-1.
Denver ain't going to get worse. Dallas ain't going to get worse.
That's the only team I'm concerned about.
Who?
The Nuggets.
Okay. But that's what I'm saying. If you don't do it this year, what you think your chance is going to be next year and beyond? This is it. That's why I'm saying this question is relevant. Because to me, what I'm seeing from LeBron and what I'm seeing from the Lakers, this is it. It don't get much better for you moving forward. That's what I'm saying. And by the way, it hurts me to say that because we all know where I want to be. Come May and June.
Facts. I can't say that I disagree with you because they've gotten 70 games out of Anthony Davis and he's given you 24 and 12 and a half. D-Lo has been sensational since the trade deadline, and he's been consistent, notwithstanding the Indiana game. But other than that, he's been solid, average, giving you about 20 a night. And Rui Hachimura has been great. So you're absolutely right. The likelihood of we getting AD to play another 70-plus games next year, and LeBron still – I'm not worried about LeBron because I still believe because of the way he's shooting the ball, he still can get downhill, and you have to respect his ability to drive the basketball. But the pieces are – everything seemingly had fallen in place this year with Anthony Davis' health, LeBron James' health. Remember, Stephen A., he didn't have to deal with that foot injury this year. Anthony Davis didn't miss 35, 40 games this year. So a lot of things went well for the Lakers, and you're absolutely right. They need to cash in on it this year because there are no givens that everybody will be healthy again next year and this team will come back. They're going to be looking to add some pieces and maybe some solid pieces go. But as long as LeBron and AD are there, I like their chances this year, especially if D'Lo gives me what he's been giving me and Rui has been coming on as of late. But I can't disagree with you. There is no guarantee that the health factor in 24-25 will be what it was in 23-24.
But what I want you to understand is that health is one component. Let's not ignore that, and I appreciate you mentioning that. But I'm talking about skill. I'm talking from the standpoint that you've got some young thoroughbreds on the come up, along with seasoned veterans that are champions in Denver, literally standing in their path. Look at the teams above them in the Western Conference. Who's fading? Who's falling? Who's falling off? None of them. And I'm saying to you, if you're the Los Angeles Lakers, time is not on your side. The level of urgency has to be now. The level of urgency, you've got to propel yourself to another level this season, right now, as opposed to asking a soon-to-be 40-year-old entering his 22nd season next year, mm-hmm. along with Anthony Davis, to save the day for you. Because these brothers out west, they're not going away. So if you're the Los Angeles Lakers, the time is right now. Because of how LeBron looks, because of how AD looks, because of the way they've come together over the last month and a month and a half or so, you've got to capitalize on this moment now. If you don't, you don't have a chance in the future as far as I'm concerned.
Who on the Timberwolves have championship experience? Who on OKC has championship experience?
No.
Who on Sacramento? Remember last year, Sacramento.
And they're still better than the Lakers.
They're not.
Sacramento swept them this year.
Hey, don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. Once we get to the playoffs, that's a whole different ball game. Hold on. This man been on TV for 47 years, and he tell me once the playoff hits, it's a different story. It's a different story. And now all of a sudden you say the regular season and the playoffs are exactly the same.
I said the playoffs is a different story depending on who you're going up against. Now, you got to remember, wait a minute, hold on, stay with me. Sacramento, you see him last year against Golden State? You see that seven-game series? Does that look like a team that can't beat the Los Angeles Lakers come playoff time?
Did you free up last year?
Is Kyrie not a champion? Have you seen Kyrie and Luka play together?
Yes.
Acknowledge Denver, right? So I gave you three right there. I understand Oklahoma City and Minnesota are relatively young, but Minnesota, number one defensively, with a Gobert and Cat comes back, along with an Anthony Edwards, you got a problem there now because they got some size. You got to hit jump shots to beat them. You can't do much on the interior. What are you talking about?
Man, look here. First of all, Anthony Davis will make Gray Poupon, Rudy Gobert, make a mess of him. You know that, I know that. Yeah, mustard everywhere. Golden mustard, everywhere. We're going to make a mess of it. And you know they ain't got nobody to deal with Goat James. You know that, I know that.
They don't have anybody to deal with Goat James. Excuse me. They got a few brothers that can answer the call in terms of what they can bring offensively to the table. I can't ignore that. You see, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, everybody keep talking about Jokic. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander right now is my leading candidate for league MVP. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
You wasted your vote. Stephen A., if you vote for Shai Gilgeous for the MVP, it's just like voting for the third party in an election. You wasted your vote. That's all you do, because you know Yo got it. You know, did you see what Yo did yesterday?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Okay. Did you see what Gilgeous did last night, closing out my name?
And did you see what Luka? Did you see what Luka did?
I understand that. Have you noticed that there's been about 40 games where Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has dropped over 30? I mean, we just going to ignore that?
Let me ask you a question.
Top 2 seed in the West?
If Yoke said, you know what, guys, for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to see how many. He'll give you 40 on the night. You can't stop him.
And what would Shai Gilgeous do?
He give you what he give. But see, we give you 18. We give you 18 assists. We give you 14 assists. We give you 12, 13, 16, 20 rebounds.
You sleeping on Shai.
No, he's phenomenal. He's all NBA. He's got to be all NBA, him and Luka.
Presti's made one mistake. He should have, whether it's an Andre Drummond or somebody, he should have just got a big body to rebound and defend because obviously Chet Holmgren is real thin. You should have got that. But outside of that, OKC, I'm not sleeping, brother. I see what I'm seeing now. And don't get me started with Anthony Edwards. Ant-Man.
Well, sleep with one eye open when you're talking about the Lakers, because they're coming.
I hear you.
Okay, we'll leave that conversation there.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Dalton Connect's 37 points were not enough to best Zach Edey's career high of 40 as Purdue took down Tennessee 72-66 in the Elite Eight to make their first Final Four appearance in over 40 years. People doubted the Boilermakers coming into the tournament. Here's what Edey had to say after the win.
We've watched for the last 3 years teams kind of have this feeling and this experience, and now to be able to go through it ourselves, for me to be able to pay back for Coach Payne for really believing in me is... It's amazing. There were so many coaches that looked over me. Like you could name a program, I could name a coach that looked over me. The Tennessee, Quick Barnes is a great coach, but he was in a bunch of our practice, looked over me. Like it's kind of been the story of my life. People have doubted me, people look past me, and can't do that anymore.
We got an ACC battle in the Elite Eight as well. 11-seed NC State took down 4-seed Duke 76-64. NC State making its first Final Four appearance in over 40 years as well. DJ Burns has been on a tear, scored 21 of his 29 points in the second half. He and his coach, Kevin Keats, spoke after their win.
It's a miracle run, but we're not surprised. Like, we didn't come into this tournament and said, hey, let's just try to be here. We came here to win it, and we did. So now we got to move on to our next stage.
I was up at Winthrop, and, you know, didn't really know how this was going to play out when I put my name in that portal. And honestly, I didn't even at first think I was coming here. So for this, it's just an absolute blessing, and I think that man needs a lot more respect still.
So with the win, NC State became the sixth number 11 seed to make the Final Four, while Purdue is there for the first time since 1980. UConn, for the seventh time, the Huskies won the title in five of their last six appearances, while Alabama will be there for the first time. Jay Will is here, and he's fired up.
I'm angry.
Hitting the wall,
I was
hitting
angry.
The table and all that stuff.
Angry.
Yeah, obviously.
We were a little soft last night. You know,
took a,
you know
took
what
an
mean?
L to just, the
Ah, yeah, they
yeah,
did a number of y'all.
Talking there, too.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
All right, Jay Will, I'm going to start with you. Is this NC State run the best that you've ever seen?
Yes, it is. First off, really happy for my brother, Kevin Keats. They were on a four-game losing streak coming into the ACC tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They were ready to run Kevin Keats out of Raleigh, North Carolina. He was fired. It was a done deal. I watched them in that game against Duke where they beat them in ACC quarterfinals. They out-muscled them. They out-toughed them. Then against UVA, right? You think about the three pillars of the ACC. Duke, UVA, North Carolina. They beat UVA on a shot at the buzzer by Mike McConnell to send it to overtime. Yep. Then they win the game. Then they beat North Carolina, the number one seed, okay? Beat them in the conference championship. Then they go, they beat up on Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. They beat up on Marquette. They find a way to win this game against Duke again to put them into the Final Four. To me, they're an 11 seed. They're an 11 seed. So I know they ain't playing like an 11 seed.
Right.
But nobody talked about North Carolina State throughout this course of this regular season. We didn't make mention of them one time. People had no idea who the hell DJ Burns was or DJ Horn. Now all of a sudden it's Go DJ. That's a theme song of the tournament. Now all of a sudden we talk about America's big man, the most branded, marketed big guy there is. I mean, everybody's going to talk about Zach Edey. I get it. Everybody's going to talk about Donovan Klingon for UConn. I get it. But nah, DJ Burns is him. There is a whole momentum behind this team. Mm-hmm. And now the fact that you got Kevin Keats on a two-year extension, now you're talking about people saying he's one of the best coaches we've had since the late Jimmy V. What? When we were just about to fire him 2.5-3 weeks ago? I've never seen a run like this before from an 11 seed. Maybe UConn back in 2011 with Kimba, but they were still one of the top teams in their conference. They weren't at the bottom tier of the ACC like NC State was. I've never seen it before.
Well, let me say this. Let me interject by saying I'm not sure. I'm not saying, Jay, that you're wrong. I really am not. I gotta do my research on that just off the top of my head, remembering Danny Manning in 88, Kansas, and what was expected of them and the run that he went on. He was absolutely sensational.
Danny Manning and the Miracle, Stephen A.
That's right.
Danny and the Miracle.
There we go. 31-18 in the national championship game, put on a show, did his thing, going up against Oklahoma and others. We get all of that. LSU 2 years earlier, 1986, beat a 1, 2, and 3 seed, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I got to think back to that as well. But you might be right. You might be right. Here's what I want to say about
Carter.
There you go. Here's what I want to say about NC State. This run, Jay. It's not like the heat the coach was receiving is unfounded. I'm happy for him.
I'm with you.
But when you go, I'm just looking at my numbers here. Shannon, this year's ACC tournament, they lost 4 straight and had lost 10 of 14 games overall heading into the ACC tournament. I mean, if there's a reason to be talking about your job security, that would be it. I mean, that's a viable reason to be talking about your job. So I'm very, very happy that he was able to turn it around and go on this run, and you back this since NC State beat 5 Slamma Jamma. I'm really, really happy for him, but I don't blame them for looking at him with a level of trepidation, even though Hubert Davis has proven himself to be a big-time coach on a collegiate level to take a North Carolina national championship game, had them in the mix this year before they lost to Alabama. I'm looking at, and you listen, I'm speaking to all of y'all Dukies. Now, we call them the Duke Blue Devils. Shannon, they don't look like Duke.
We don't have to go.
They don't look like, yeah. Damn it, I'm going right there. They don't look. They don't look like the Duke Blue Devils that I know. Mm. I mean, they look, I'm going to say it. Because I've heard it off the record, off the air by various people, they look soft. And it was being told to me long before the ACC tournament. So I'm looking at that, and as far as I'm concerned, Duke was lucky to be in the Elite Eight. You know, if we're being honest about it, they're lucky to be there. So now, we're here, and I'm looking at NC State. Last thing, Shannon. Defensively, holding opponents to 65.5 points per game on 35% shooting, 24% from three. Defense does help you. But that big boy Burns that you just brought up, I like him. The college basketball's version of Zach Randolph. Don't look like he can jump onto a curb and you can't do anything with him. I get all of that. But in the end, we going to find out when he's going up against legit big dudes who are obviously bigger than him. Mm-hmm. He can't get off the court. What's he going to be? If he shows out against them, at least one of them, if not both, then we got to have a conversation about him.
With
him. I mean, this is a very improbable run, and you look at it, and I think Kevin Keats, it goes without saying, Stephen A., I think you're absolutely right. You can't lose that many games and expect to have job security. You're not a Coach K. You're not a Roy Williams. You're not a rest your soul of Dean Smith. You don't have that kind of cachet, and you haven't built up anything within the athletic program that says, you know what, this is just a downturn. He'll bounce back next year. But to do what they did, to make that run through the ACC tournament, knock off all those teams, win it, and then to go beat Texas Tech, you beat Oakland, you beat Marquette, you beat Duke. They've earned the right to be here. It's going to be very interesting. And DJ, Stephen A., he said he used to study a lot of Akeem Olajuwon, but unfortunately, God gave him Zach Randolph's body. So he's nimble. I mean, you're right, Stephen A. He doesn't jump very high, but he knows how to use that big frame of his. He has great feel, great touch around the basket. They played unbelievable. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Zach Edey, because Zach Edey seems like he's 8 foot tall. And I know all those guys are not 6'1 or 6'2, but he makes everybody look like an average human being. Some of those guys are 6'7.
Yeah.
Is that it? Okay. Jay Will, I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned DJ, and obviously he's been on a tear lately, but it has been fun to watch him kind of go from nobody knowing who he was to now being the guy that he is now, right?
Well, it's both DJs.
Yeah.
It's DJ Burns and DJ Horn, too. I mean, they combined for 49 points last night.
Yeah.
And just back to you, Stephen A., for one quick second.
Just a little Duke.
We're going to see it next year with that boy from Maine when he come down. He played like he a brother from Philly, Cooper Flagg. I'm just saying, next year's going to be our time.
I hope you're right.
Next year's going to be our time.
We've been talking about him a lot. Listen, ain't nothing but reverence for Duke. You know, but let's just call it what it is. That was in the Coach K era. It's a different era now. And so what you want to see is you want to see the culture maintained. We have seen a drop off at Duke. Mm-hmm. They do not look the same. And I'm not just talking about what I see with my two eyes watching them on several occasions this year. I make sure to not only reach out to basketball aficionados and analysts, but numerous people who played at Duke who will remain nameless. Mm. And no one has disagreed with what I have had to say about the Duke Blue Devils. This year, they looked soft.
Shannon, what do you do? What's that say do?
Mm. That's right.
They still made it to the final.
Hey, Stephen A., yep. If the NBA doesn't work out for DJ Horn, guess what? Hey, get a kick slide. I know some people I call Willie Anderson. He could work with you. You could be a tackle.
Oh, you know, how about that?
There have been a lot of basketball players that transitioned to the NFL and made great careers.
That's okay, right. I'm not ruling that out for him. You're right.
Let's talk about the defending champs, because we've obviously seen UConn completely dominate the men's game. Who's the toughest remaining matchup for UConn, J-Will?
It's Purdue. It's just, look, man, these dudes are a well-oiled machine. I mean, they went on, y'all ever see a 30-0 run?
Yeah, ridiculous.
What the hell? I'm watching the game, and it's 23-23. And by the way, like, I don't know how many players on their roster I could sit here and say is going to be an all-star in the league, right? So it's not a team that's constructed by superstars like that. Donovan Klingon maybe has the highest potential, him and Stephen Castle, but these aren't household names. But they went on a 30-0 run. I think the only team, Alabama will be a matchup issue for them, kind of, but I think their guards are so good, they'll defend them on a three-point line. I still think they'll win by double digits. It's a 7'4 guy that weighs 320 pounds.
Yep.
It's Zach Edey. That's the one dude that's going to give them problems. Other than that, I don't think there is a matchup problem for him.
You want me to tell you something right now? First of all, I expect UConn to roll. I don't see anybody that can mess with them. I'm not sold on Zach Edey. I know the brother dropped 40 yesterday or whatever, but he's 7'4". He looks like a foot taller than everybody else.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just looking at him, and I'm going like, and I'm like, if you're quick a foot and you have enough size, which UConn has, I don't think he's going to be nearly effective. The hell with 40, he ain't getting 30 against UConn. Mm-hmm. Not Danny Hurley, not that crew, right? Here's what I say when my answer to this, Shay, is Alabama basketball. Here's why. Because when you've got too much size and you're clearly the superior team, what is the one thing that is the ultimate neutralizer? If you can get hot from the perimeter, three. And that's Alabama's only hope. Purdue don't have that in them. I'm sorry. NC State, I don't believe, has that in them. But Alabama does, Shannon. And that's why I give them the better chance than anybody against you.
I'm slowing it down and I'm playing through my big. He's gonna touch the ball every time down the court.
I'm not gonna
let you get me into a foot race. I'm not gonna let you get me up and down. I'm not gonna allow you to speed me up. And I'm gonna do what he did yesterday. You see how many guys he fouled out for Tennessee? Well, just about everybody else is going to be in foul trouble also, because he's going to touch the ball, and I'm going to say, son, get down on the block. We're going to dump it to you. Let me know the hand you want it, and you go to the basket strong.
Okay, you can say that. I will tell you this. Alabama led the nation in scoring, 90.6 points per game, one of only four teams averaging 33s. I'm just saying to you, I think that strategy that Shannon pointed out for Purdue will get blown out of the building with that strategy against UConn. I'm not saying Alabama won't either, but I think that's your best shot. Launch it from long range.
We'll see. We're
going to follow them out.
Strap up now.
Okay.
Those guards,
I know. I know. But when you pulling up from three, you mean he touched the elbows.
Zach Edey. Zach Edey. As a matter of fact, he's 7'8".
Jay Will, great seeing you. We'll see you in Arizona. Final Four on Saturday.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Welcome back. It's time for a quick take. Sorry to do this to you, Stephen A., but just one game after Victor Wembanyama spoiled a 61-point Jalen Brunson performance, heartbreak happened again. Brunson put the Knicks up one with just 4 seconds remaining in the game, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander hit a game winner with 2 seconds left to give the Thunder the dub. Do you still believe in the Knicks come playoffs?
I do. And I got to tell you this. I'm incredibly proud of the New York Knicks. You know, no Mitchell Robinson, no OG Anunoby, no Julius Randle, but they're still a half game out for the number three overall seed in the Eastern Conference. And I'll go as far as to say this. I owe Tom Thibodeau an apology. I once said, you know what, Ty Lue, because I love Ty Lue and I think he's a phenomenal coach, and somebody like that would be better in New York than Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau is a leading candidate for Coach of the Year. He has done a phenomenal job this year. If the Knicks get healthy, I got confidence in them. They're injured.